Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler Mergen. I got to remember to throw in Mergen. Really used to being Fidler. If you guys don't know, I just got married in April of 2024. And I was widowed the first time, so it's kind of complicated. I really like my other last name. And yeah, so I'm Liz Fidler Mergen, but I'm happily remarried, but I'll answer to a lot of things. You can call me whatever you want, as long as you call me. So we're going to go ahead and do quite a few different episodes on this topic, but is this right for you and your business? So I'm going to dive deep into ranunculus, peonies, lisianthus, snapdragons, tulips, dahlias, stock fillers like basil, amaranth, bupleurum, scabiosa. We're going to talk about focal versus direct, sunflowers, status, zinnias, strawflower, cosmos, celosia, delphinium, feverfew, and blue thistle. So those are each going to be their own episode on the podcast. And I'm really excited. This is the very first one that we're putting out. I am going to do the same questions over and over again. I'm going to talk about when I grow it. And some of these I don't grow anymore. Some of them I got rid of. And just questions you should ask yourself before deciding what to grow. So the very first thing that I have on the list is snapdragons. Is growing this right for you? I feel like this is one of those tried and true, pretty much everyone can grow this flowers that is going to be kind of a workhorse in your cut flower farm because it is cut and come again. What zone are you in and does it grow in your zone? Snapdragons will grow in pretty much any zone. I live in zone 4B and I cannot overwinter them, although I do think that this last winter they may have survived. Had I just cut them down low, they maybe would have survived. I know people who up to zone 6 will overwinter them and maybe they'll just like cut them down low and mulch them down with some leaves. But yeah, they're definitely something that can grow in most zones. My favorite variety and the only variety that I grow now is the Potomac. And it just seems to be a lot sturdier. That initial stem is really good. It has really good stem length. And I have good luck with it. According to the Johnny Seed website with the growing information, you can, you know, it's an annual, but can be, you know, cut down and grown as perennials in other areas, or not necessarily perennials, but new length, or you can leave it in the fall and it can self-seed in those areas, but it just depends on how mild your springs are. I definitely buy these in plugs, but it's a flower that when I did start my own flowers from seed trays, it was one that seemed like it was a good fit. So the first question that I want to ask of snapdragons is there a market for it in your area? So the questions that we're going to go through for all of these podcasts is, what zone are you in? Is there a market for it? What is the market pricing? What are the starting needs? Space needed or growing requirements, the startup cost, the planting needs, care during growing, harvest needs, and your flexibility. Does it need a cooler or certain storage? What is the vase life? What is your personal sales method? Is it an annual perennial? And is there anything else to consider? So those are the questions that we're going to go through on every single one of these flowers to keep me organized. Because you guys know sometimes I get a little ADHD, I get off on a little tangent, but we're going to stick to an outline for these. Woohoo! So does it grow in your zone? I'm assuming that the answer is yes for just about everyone. I don't know about the super hot climates, but I think for the most part, cut flower growers, it's a good fit. Is there a market for it? I do think that snapdragons are fairly common. I've worked with a few different bridal designers, consider themselves more like studio florists, and it doesn't always work great in like bridal bouquets, that type of thing, for more upscale designs. But if it's someone with more of a whimsical design, then they love them. So yes, I think that overall there's going to be quite a bit of market for it. I don't think you're going to have people going nuts like, oh my God, I need your snapdragons. But it kind of depends. It depends on the color. This year I had some orange, peachy. They looked like monarch butterflies. That's how someone described them. And they just, everyone loved them. And so I did have some bundles of them sold. Last year when the Barbie movie came out, I did pink snapdragon bundles and I called them Barbie bundles and that went really well. So, you know, I think there's definitely a good need for it. Market pricing. Can you source it from anywhere else? So when I look on my wholesaler, so I have an account with Lenbush Roses right now on August 1st, 2024, they are priced at $15.99 for a 10 pack. So about $1.60 per stem wholesale. If you do flower math, 2.5 times the cost of materials plus 25%, you know, it's pretty reasonable. But, you know, if you're buying them from another grower, is that reasonable? So that's roughly the market price that you can figure. I sell it to my customers for about $250 a stem, and I sell it wholesale for that same wholesale price. I sell it $250 a stem in a bouquet, not an arrangement. I think that's something that needs to be clarified very specifically. I sell market bundles, or they buy it by the stem on a stem bar, or it's a U-pick, or again, my bouquets, my $30 bouquets are simply that. They're a market bouquet. They are not an arrangement. I'm not putting all that time into it. They don't get to pick the colors. They don't, you know, have the custom arrangements. So that's what I have decided has worked well for me, because I'm not, you know, having those touch points back and forth. Whereas if someone is getting really specific on the bloom types and stuff like that, then it's an arrangement. And if you're going to run a business as a florist, not having the seasonal blooms, then you need to do things differently. If you have questions on that, I highly, highly recommend my course, Petaling Perishable Products. I walk through a lot of sales and pricing in there. And then we really get into the nitty gritty of a lot of pricing on the private PPP podcast that you get lifetime access to once you've taken the foundations course. But anyway, if you're struggling with pricing, I really encourage you to just look at what wholesale pricing is in your area and then try to figure that out. Starting needs for sunflowers. So plugs, trays, direct seeds, etc. This definitely needs to be started in a tray of some sort, either ahead of time, so it cannot be direct seeded. I buy them in plugs. So I pay $50 per tray, 210 plugs per tray, so 210 plants, and you can fit 3 trays in a box. The cost of shipping a box is $54, regardless if you have 1 tray in the box or 3 trays in the box. So it is in your best interest when you're ordering, at least from Farmer Bailey, who gets from Grow and Sell. I also order plugs from Ball, who also gets from Grow and Sell. At some point, I will do a very transparent comparison of my opinions of the two of them. But thus far, they've both been great. I have no complaints. I just happened to buy all my plugs from Farmer Bailey last year. But then in the spring, I bought a bunch from Ball because they had a bunch more that were readily available. Now, so if it's $50 per tray and then you divide that shipping, it's 18. So it's $68 per tray to have these plugs shipped from me, if that makes sense, because I make sure to get to fill up a box when I get it done. So that means I pay 33 cents per plant. And then my goal is if I can sell them at 250 per stem, each plant will produce roughly, I would say over, because we get a really good flush in the summer in like from late June to about the second week of August. And then from middle of August to probably mid-September, they pretty much stop producing or they really slow down. And then I get another flush again later in September. And then they will continue lasting through later in frost because they're a lot more cold tolerant. They're considered a hardy annual. Now, I used to start these in trays, and I do think that snapdragons are one thing that are pretty easy to start in trays, but when I factor in, guess what? They're shipped to me. They're ready to plant. They're ready to transplant out. They're good to go. By the time I pay for electricity, and if I forget to water them one time, then they're not doing as great. So it's like I get 210 plants that are perfectly ready. They will refund me if 210 aren't great. So if I only get 204, then they refund me for those six plants that didn't come. So again, it's 100% transplant rate, which is way better than I can do when I start my own trays. However, you can buy a packet of seeds, you know, from Johnny Seeds or whatever. The prices, oh, they do have them in stock. So if you were to buy 250 seeds, it'd be $8.45. I would say if you're trying to plant a 210 cell tray, you're definitely going to need at least 500 seeds. These seeds are tiny. They don't all germinate. So you're going to spend anywhere from probably, and then of course there's shipping. So you're going to spend probably about $20 on the seeds themselves, plus the potting mix, plus the trays, whatever. This is not a conversation about starting your own seeds versus buying plugs. I have other episodes about that, but for me, it makes more sense to buy it from plugs. Direct seeding. I'm sure there are some places that you can overwinter them or you can plant them in the fall. I've actually thought about one of my high tunnels experimenting with direct seeding them in the fall and then just really covering them with mulch and see what happens, see if they take off and germinate sometime in, you know, February, but I don't know. It's, we'll see. I don't have quite the high tunnel space to experiment with that. But for now, for the most part, plugs or trays, you cannot direct seed them. And they take about 10 to 12 weeks that you have to start them before you can transplant them. We're going to do a quick break from this episode. And I want to give a shout out to my employee of the month, QuickBooks. I know it can be so overwhelming to get started, but honestly, the sooner you create your own system for your bookwork, the sooner you will get your time back. I used to spend 10 to 20 hours every quarter because in Minnesota, it depends on what your sales volume is, and I fall in the category of quarterly sales tax. So it never failed. Every 3 months, I would go down this rabbit hole of trying to gather everything from my website, the different point of sale that I do in person, people would pay checks, and just trying to reconcile it all. So now every month, I spend 1 hour reconciling my bank account with those systems that automatically feed in. And then when it's time to submit my sales tax, it takes me about 5 minutes, saving me literally dozens of hours every month. So yes, you pay a monthly fee for QuickBooks, but trust me, even if I only value my time at $10 an hour, it is still way worth it. Head to the episode notes and click on the link there and you will get 30% off for 6 months with my exclusive code. Be sure to use the code rather than just going to the regular website because this is going to give you that 30% off for 6 months. I cannot recommend QuickBooks enough. Let's get back to the episode. Space needed, growing requirements. So these I put at 9-inch spacing and that works really well for me. Snapdragons definitely need, if you're planting them outside in any sort of wind, they are going to need a support netting. I use the 6x6 plastic netting. It works really well. I reuse it every year. I roll it up and then I use some just T-posts, smaller ones, and it seems to do a really good job. I will adjust the netting up higher as it goes, but they definitely need support netting. Planting needs. One thing that I love about snapdragons is that I get them shipped to me because they are more cool hardy. There's a lot of flowers that I will grow, you know, zinnias, amaranth, celosia, quite a few of them. They need to be, you can't plant them until after the risk of frost, but snapdragons are not one of them. So I actually planted out my whole row. I believe it was on April 25th. I think I got the trays shipped to me maybe April 20th. And then I transplanted them out already on April 25th. It kind of depends. You have about a week or two wiggle room. I mean, full transparency, you're supposed to transplant them right away, harden them off for a day or two, but that just doesn't work for me. So I definitely have kept them for like 10 days before I've transplanted them out. So I like the fact that I can plant them significantly earlier than a lot of my other stuff. And then they're done, they're good to go. I don't pinch them all. The hail pinched them for me. But one awesome thing about snapdragons is you can pinch them. And then I actually took rooting hormone. And again, that's optional. You can use it or not. Sometimes it works without it. And then I put them into seed trays. And then I actually doubled my snapdragon's amount. I got busy, and actually I didn't get it busy. I just ran out of room, but you definitely could like order some early trays that way and propagate them and then have double the amount of snapdragons, which is insane and pretty cool. So that's definitely a big plus for them. Harvest needs. This is where snapdragons get a 10 out of 10. Unlike sunflowers, peonies, tulips, snapdragons have a very wide harvest need. You harvest when they're about 2/3 open, and they will last a really long time in the cooler. So if you can't get to them one day, that's okay. You can still pick them tomorrow. It's not like there's this urgent, you know, I need to pick them now. So they have a pretty good flexibility there. And then as far as this cooler goes, I like to store mine in the cooler for up to 10 days before I use them. And they last about a week in the vase, if not a little bit longer, as long as they're picked at that perfect time. I do like to pick them and let them sit in the cooler for sure a couple days. They just hydrate really well. And I feel like that makes a significant difference. We don't pinch that initial stem because I like that really sturdy one. And then they, versus if you pinch them quite a few times, you're going to get a really thin stem. I am loving the Potomac variety. I will not go back to Rocket Mix. I will not go back to Madam Butterfly. I really, really like this variety, and I'm going to stay there. Another thing is thinking about your sales method. If you have, you know, subscriptions, if you have farmers markets, whatever, I think they're really good for that because they're not going to blow open in the heat. Like for example, a peony would. You still don't want flowers out in the heat. They tolerate a little bit better as they open up in their vase life. It's not like it's going to blow open a day or two earlier, like a tulip would, for example, if you had them outside. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, it is an annual. It's a cool, hardy annual. I talked about this a little bit at the beginning. I promise in these episodes, I will stick to this outline a little bit better. But yeah, I think overall snapdragons are a win-win-win. 10 out of 10. They're a very basic entry level thing to get started with. You can either buy plugs. Another thing that I will recommend is if you buy them from a garden center, be really aware of what kind of variety it is. Some of them sell Rocket Mix, but a lot of them are dwarf varieties that are meant for garden beds or pots. And so they are not meant for cut flowers because they're dwarf. They are genetically modified to be shorter. So be careful where you buy your snapdragon plugs from. Anyway, would love to hear. We're going to just do more of these short episodes going in and out, but trying to decide, you know, if they're good for you. I would love to hear your thoughts. My experience is my reality, and your reality and your experience is probably a lot different than mine. So head to the Facebook group. Tell us what you think. It's on my list of things that I want to do to get the Facebook group a lot more engaged based on the podcast episode that week. So let's chat about snapdragons. Thank you so much. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at sunnymarymeadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.